Welcome to the Chosen People radio program, a production of Chosen People Ministries. On this program, you'll hear inspiring stories, learn about messianic apologetics, and discover God's plan for Israel and you. And wherever you're listening right now, we hope you lean in, listen closely, and learn a lot. Now let's welcome our hosts, Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries, and Robert Walter, our New York regional director.
Well, shalom and welcome to The Chosen People. My name is Robert Walter. A lot of people call me Bobby. You can do that as well. And we're so grateful that you're joining us and tuning in. And once again, I'm coming to you from New York City. And we are without our beloved brother, Mitch Glazer, who is still enjoying his well-deserved sabbatical. So please keep praying for Mitch. Pray that he gets the rest and the rejuvenation that he deserves. So in light of that, joining me today is a very special dear brother, a co-laborer in Messiah, my friend Chaim Dauerman. So Chaim, welcome to The Chosen People.
Thank you, Bobby. It's good to be here.
Yes, good to have you. Definitely been looking forward to this. And just for context, Chaim serves with us in Chosen People Ministries here in New York as well. And Chaim and I actually have the honor and the privilege of working side by side in co-leading our Messianic congregation in Brooklyn. It's called Beth Sar Shalom, the House of the Prince of Peace. So Chaim, what would you like to share about the congregation, if anything?
It's a wonderful place. The leadership is excellent, very competent. Especially that Bobby guy really knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
I can't say much for the Chaim guy, but the Bobby guy is all right.
Yeah, Chaim manages.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Again, just so grateful that you're joining us here. And we actually have a real special treat. Over the next few weeks, Chaim and I will be digging into a real unique topic together that we'll share more with you about later on. But first, we thought it would be a good idea to hear about Chaim's testimony and how he came to faith. Because I'm just telling you now, I've heard his testimony a number of times. It is incredibly powerful and moving to see how the Lord Yeshua Jesus worked in his life from a young age and then well into adulthood as well to draw him to himself. So Chaim, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you came to faith in Yeshua, what your early life was like, and so just take it away.
Sure. My story is, I think, kind of special because I've lived in two realities. On the one hand, I was raised in the Messianic Jewish congregational movement. Hmm. Both of my parents are Jewish believers, and so I was raised in the faith. And but at the same time, I also came to faith as an adult. Hmm. As a child, faith didn't really find purchase in my heart. I didn't have a genuine faith. I was going through the motions. I knew what to do and what to say, and I knew what we believed as a family, but it wasn't a personal matter for me. It wasn't a matter of the heart. I was surrounded by other young people who had faith experiences that I couldn't relate to. And so I kind of just faked it when I was young. I got to be a teenager and I realized that I didn't need to fake it anymore, that I could sort of be myself. And there weren't very many social consequences for me. I didn't have very many believing friends. I was 15, so I didn't mind alienating my parents. And so I just sort of defined myself my own way. Mm-hmm. And for the next 19 years, I was secular. Mm. So it's interesting when I hear people say that they came to faith in college, right? That they you hear from secular Jewish people came to faith in college around 18, 19. Well, gee, I lived a secular life for 18, 19 years and came to faith at that point. So in a way, I lived a whole lifetime outside of the faith completely, where I wasn't identifying not just with Yeshua, but really with any faith at all.
Right.
So shortly after I became disaffected, I moved to New York.
Okay.
I had grown up in the Los Angeles area. I moved to New York and I sort of settled into a really secular Jewish way of life. Mm-hmm. In New York, you know, it's easy for everyone's a little bit Jewish in New York.
It's true.
The culture in New York is very Jewish. Everybody enjoys a bagel. Everybody orders Chinese food on Christmas. It's actually become sort of a New York City tradition. Everybody knows a little bit of Hebrew or a little bit of Yiddish. It's just a very Jewish place. And so for me, I could just kind of coast. I didn't think much about my Jewish identity, didn't think much about faith. I had searched for God. I had searched for Yeshua when I was younger, when I was in my late teens, after I had sort of disavowed the faith. I did have questions. I did pray. I did wonder whether I'd made the right choice.
Right.
But ultimately, my desire to follow my own will kind of sort of overwhelmed things. And I'd like to say that as a secular Jewish man in New York, that a nice missions organization like Chosen People Ministries came swooping in and shared the gospel with me. But that's not what happened. Actually, for 12 years, I lived in New York, and nobody shared the gospel with me. Nobody confronted me with it. Nobody.
Wow.
I never really had to deal with it. And I think there were times when I might have been open, honestly. But I had success. I worked in the hospitality industry. I made a name for myself. Things were going well. But I reached a point in my life where I was really unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of material advantage. I had a nice place to live. I had a good job. I'd made a good name for myself. I had plenty of friends or people I thought of as friends. But I had a big drinking problem that I had developed, Bobby, as you know, as we've talked about. And the more success I had, the more empty I felt.
Interesting.
And I felt at a certain point like it was too late for me. I reached this point, and it's kind of funny. It's funny to think about now. I reached this point when I was in my early 30s where I thought, man, I wish I could have been religious. I wish I had those values. I wish I hadn't made the decisions that I made. I wish I hadn't developed this drinking problem. I wish I'd been a different kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
I could have met a nice girl, settled down, had some good values, and had a good life. But I felt like it was too late for me. And then I reached a point in my life where I sobered up. I'd had enough. I couldn't continue the way that I was going.
Yeah,
I knew that was going to be bad news for me. And I knew that if I wanted meaning and I wanted to find something good in life, I couldn't do it with the problems that I had. And when I did that, I got this clarity. It was like I was self-aware for the first time in a really long time. And when that happened, I started thinking about God for the first time in many, many years. I started going to AA, which is in a 12-step program. And when you're in that environment, if you're familiar with a 12-step program, you know that a lot of the steps have to do with God. You have to think about God and submit to God as you understand him. And it was the first time that I really had to think about God in a while. So I called my father, who's a Messianic Jewish rabbi and a very learned man and a very approachable guy. And I just asked him, what do Jews think about God? Because I didn't know. I knew I was Jewish, and I knew that I had to think about God, but I genuinely didn't know what to do. I was completely clueless. So we talked a little bit. We didn't talk about Yeshua, actually. It was really, really just basic level stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And after that conversation, I changed. It was like a switch flipped on inside of me, and I became aware that I needed... I needed God. I became fixated on Yeshua inexplicably.
So even though in the conversation with your father, you guys hadn't even talked about Yeshua,
wasn't thinking about him.
When this switch changed in your mind and in your heart, somehow it was centered on Jesus, on Yeshua.
Yes, immediately. I became fixated on the crucifixion.
Wow.
Which I think it felt very un-Jewish at the time to do that. But that was what I became fixated on. And over the course of the next 5 days, God worked on me to the point where I submitted my life. It was like a Paul on the road to Damascus experience. It was, if you want to call it a born again experience, that's what it was. And that was when I was changed. I was 34 years old.
Wow.
For over 130 years, Chosen People Ministries has been sharing the love of Messiah with Jewish people around the world. From the streets of New York City to Israel and beyond, we are committed to bringing the gospel to God's chosen people with compassion, sensitivity, and truth. But we can't do it alone. Your partnership makes this work possible through prayer, financial support, and spreading the word in your own community. Would you consider standing with us? Your gift helps train missionaries, support outreach events, and provide resources for Jewish seekers. You can also invite one of our speakers to your church or Bible study to share about God's heart for the Jewish people and equip your congregation for Jewish evangelism. Visit chosenpeople.com to give, book a speaker, or learn more about how you can be part of reaching Jewish people with the hope of Yeshua.
That's incredible. So just over the course of 5 days in between, so you move from LA to New York, you're living a very successful secular life, and you're kind of underselling it. Because I remember seeing articles in the New York Times about Chaim Dauerman and your successes in your career. And during this time, you're very alienated from God, you're steeped in secularism, you develop this drinking problem. And then for some reason, you are confronted with how empty all of that is. You go to AA, you get sober, and then things shift.
I had everything I thought I ever wanted.
Yeah.
And I was empty inside. Mm-hmm. If you had put the clock back to 5 years earlier and asked me to make a list of the things I wanted in my life, I had all those things. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that it wasn't enough. It was that it was the wrong stuff.
Mm.
And once I got distance from my drinking and was able to really open myself up to the possibilities, I realized that left to my own devices, I was never going to be able to find the things I was actually looking for and the answers that I had craved from a very young age.
Yeah.
And those all came to me supernaturally, Bobby, over the course of a few days, where my life was changed and I was turned toward God in a way that I didn't expect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Jesus in particular, Yeshua in
specifically,
particular. Amazing.
Specifically.
Absolutely incredible. So I feel like there's so many lessons that we can glean from that. Part of it just what you experienced in your own life, and it's almost like Ecclesiastes, right? Like you're experiencing all that the world has to offer.
Vanity, vanity, all is vanity.
Exactly. And you realize the emptiness in all of it, that there's something greater, something more important out there. And I think, a lot of people can connect with that in our culture today. There's this deep yearning and desire because, I mean, let's be honest, in our culture, especially in the West, we are the most wealthy people who enjoy the greatest technology and luxuries.
Yeah,
more than any culture segment of people in the history of mankind. Yet there's so much emptiness that people experience. But in Yeshua, in the Lord, there is fullness.
Now, I want to make something clear. I'm not saying success is bad, right? Or being well known is bad, or having the things you strive after are bad.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't do those things within a context of viewing yourself as a child of God, and you don't do those things honestly within the context of acknowledging how God has revealed himself to the world through Yeshua, then you're going to wind up empty in the end, no matter how many things you acquire.
Yeah. Yeah. Incredibly true and powerful. And, you know, so there's one other angle I want to ask you about.
Yeah.
When it comes to like lessons that we can glean from just your story, and that's with your parents, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So with your, I love your parents.
Yeah, they're nice.
Oh, yeah, they're great. But for the 18 years that their beloved son was, you know, straight, living across the country and clearly showing no interest in the gospel, in the Lord.
Making a lot of bad decisions along
the way. And then, you know, your dad, I can only imagine how elated he must have been to get that phone call from you.
He lost his marbles.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
And then 5 days later, when you share with him how, you know, you've committed your life to Yeshua. So what can you share about, like, their perspective on things and you know, their prayers for you throughout those 18 years and, like, the impact that their ongoing witness to you during those 18 years?
Their witness to me was simply to be my parents.
Yeah.
They never talked to me about this stuff, never inquired, never pressured me about it, just kept me close to them as we related as human beings.
Yeah.
And when I came to that point of faith, then they said, well, we've been praying for you for 20 years.
Mm.
It's what they had always wanted. But they kept that private because at the end of the day, because there was no alienation between us, when I started feeling this tug from God, I could go right to my dad.
Mm-hmm.
There was no distance between us that I think could have, knowing my personality, had they been trying to put the hard sell on me all mm-hmm. those years, it would have yielded a bad result.
Mm.
In the end, I was able to approach God on my own terms, in my own way. And honestly, in the moment, it had nothing to do with anybody, had nothing to do with them, had nothing to do with anybody who had been talking to me. It was something between me and God.
Sure.
And I really feel that my parents prayerfully created room for that to occur. And hopefully, I mean, look, my father leads a congregation. There's a lot of pastors out there. There's a lot of congregational leaders out there. And there are just a lot of believers out there who have adult children who didn't stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I tell people, and I talk to people in that situation all the time, is if God can call me back, you don't need to worry. I mean, he's capable of doing anything.
Yeah.
My mother said that she never imagined that happening with me.
Mm.
She didn't think it was possible,
mm-hmm.
even though she prayed. She thought it was incredibly unlikely. And God did it all for me in 5 days. So I think that hopefully anybody who's in the position my parents were in can prayerfully acknowledge that God has tools to work with that we're just not privy to.
Yeah. Yeah. Just so good. So powerful. Thank you, Chaim, for sharing. And honestly, it reminds me a number of years ago, I was at a conference and I heard Dr. Walter Kaiser, great biblical scholar, teacher, just a great man of God. And he was sharing a teaching from Proverbs and he just threw out this statement. He said, never underestimate what God can do in the life of your children. And I think your parents, your testimony is just a testament to that fact. And there's, again, just so much that we can take away from your story. So thank you for sharing. And thank all of you for joining us for this episode. We are very grateful. And just be encouraged. If that is you, if you are sensing any kind of emptiness or loneliness or lack of fulfillment in the pursuits of your life, just know that there's more out there, and that more is found in the Messiah, Yeshua, alone. And on top of that, if you're one of those parents and you have a child or children who have strayed or who are struggling, don't give up. Be their parent. Love them and be patient and trust God and don't underestimate what the Lord can do in their lives.
7th of October was the worst day in the history of the Jewish people since the Holocaust. As a nation, we are going through a difficult time, but in the same time, we can see God continues to move
Collectively, we were in a bit of shock until recently. There's a different and new level of pain and sadness and anger that people are experiencing now and feeling more now. I mean, me personally, at the beginning, I couldn't really cry. Just a couple weeks ago, I noticed I almost can't not cry. And I've spoken to many people who are saying similar things.
We've noticed that in light of all that's going on, people are very hungry and they're searching, they're looking for deep Bible studies, they're looking for fellowship. And these are things that we've always been doing and we continue to do.
Everybody just wants to come, dive deeper into God's word, dive deeper in conversations, be real with one another, pray with each other, even praise in that place of brokenness. And it's been beautiful to see people coming from all walks of life, whether they've been mature believers, new believers, believers who have walked away and are seeking their way back, and non-believers.
In the war, in the first week, I was filming a little video of how people could pray for us right now. There was a young woman standing on the street, looking confused and just standing there, and she kind of overheard me and came over. And it turned out she hadn't left her home once in the last 4 days. And she was very nervous to be outside. And she asked me why I was making this video about praying. And I shared with her that I'm someone who believes in God in a very personal and relational way. Little by little, we continued to have dialogue through this season. And now she's coming to Bible study.
Because of the situation, we needed to hire a security guy, and he just came and protected our place during the big events. Love of God touched his heart. And without any pressure for us, he started to ask us questions about our faith, about Jesus. He decided to start discipleship and then was baptized, and now he married with a Messianic believer, and they attend one of the churches here in Tel Aviv.
And the more we've grown, the more ministry opportunities God has given us, the more activities we've been able to do, the more individuals we've been able to touch. And when we look at what's happened just over the last few years, we see more non-believers coming to us and asking questions. We see more young believers or brand new believers coming to us and asking us to be discipled. So I guess our hope is to see God do that and to expand upon that, to see more non-believers come to faith.
People are looking for hope. We hear many people are turning to the Psalms. People who weren't open to God are searching for God. There's really an opportunity to walk with people and to show them that God is with us too in the midst of it, and he knows what we're going through.
And if we as believers can find safety place in God, then from this position we can encourage others to do the same and be a good testimony for our nation in this difficult period of time.
Well, thank you so much for tuning in with us here on The Chosen People. We would love to stay in touch with you and to hear from you. So we want to invite you to check us out online, chosenpeople.com/radio. And when you visit us there, we actually have a free gift for you. So just take a moment, fill out your information, and we'll get you that gift right away. If you'd like to email us, you can send us a note at radio@chosenpeople.com. Send us a compliment or a praise or a question or however the Lord leads. We would just love to hear back from you. And if email is not your thing, you can also call us and leave a voicemail. So the phone number to call is 914-288-1466. Again, that's 914-288-1466. 1466. We also just want to let you know that we are receiving your emails. We're receiving your voice messages. We love and appreciate the encouragement and the prayer requests as well. We are praying for you. So again, please feel free to reach out, email or call us or check us out on the website. So with that, we're just going to close out our time with the Aaronic benediction.
Yivarechecha Adonai V'yishmarecha, Ya'er panav elecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom, v'yasem lecha shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and be gracious to you.
May the face of the Lord shine upon you and give you peace. B'shem Shel Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, the Prince of Peace.